T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time: baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it, with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in baseball isn't boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. You'll be glad you did.
Brian Mazurowski and Joe Beamer with you on WBEN. Guess what we're talking about today? If you have your, I mean, come on. It's all I heard over the weekend was Albert the Alligator, and like whether this guy should be allowed to have a huge alligator in his tub. And it brought like a few things to me. First, Joe, I have to get this off my chest. I apologize. I'm like under the weather with something. I'm like, I will make it through the show.
All right.
I know I sound like Albert after he was tranquilized.
I'm going to tell you right now, until you told me something, I had no idea you were feeling under the weather.
Really?
Yeah,
I'm much less chipper. I bet you if you asked Lucas out there.
Yeah?
Sparse words for Lucas when I pass him in the... Usually I like to chat it up a little bit. Not today.
Well, your on-air presence...
Sorry.
Your on-air presence is not giving any clues.
I could not stop thinking about one thing, Joe, over this weekend.
Albert?
No, it was something you said on Friday. Ooh. How you said that Albert the Alligator, he looks just fine. And that has been in my head ever since, that you think you know what an alligator is supposed to look like. Like, that just...
looks like an alligator.
You just... I don't know what exactly you said, but you're like, look at him. He looks better than any alligator I've seen in my life. You're like, Trump. This is the best alligator I've ever seen
it's
in my
a
life.
Beautiful alligator.
It's been in my head the entire weekend. It's the funniest thing. I like keep thinking back to it.
He does look fine.
How do you know? I don't know. I don't think he looks fine, actually. I think his eye looked messed up. Like, but I don't. He could look fine. I'm not an alligatorologist.
But 34. I mean, in human years, that's like 90 something. I mean,
what's an alligator year compared to? Don't alligators live way longer? They live to like 150.
Oh, do they?
They're dinosaurs. Like,
he should be a kid.
Yeah. I mean, he should be spry. 350 pounds seems a little obese.
Alligators in the wild will live 30 to 50 years. In captivity, 70 to 80 years.
70 to 80. Okay. So, well, he's a wild captive alligator, maybe. I don't know. But either way, that was in my head.
He's a little obese.
In my head the entire weekend. I couldn't stop thinking about you saying, you know, in your expert opinion, that he looked great.
Well, I saw him at the Naples Zoo that one time. So that's...
And then, I don't... Like, what were people's conversations? So 803-0930 to join us this morning. 803-0930. You can give us a call. You can also send a text. I think the text is working. Our internet's been a little... spotty today, so a call is probably better if you want to get on the air and get your comment in. The conversations you've been having with people, have you been enlightened to, you know, how people think around you? Like, has there been an interesting conversation that you've had about this?
I mean, it's number one, I'm just interested in how many people are. I mean, this is, everyone is talking about this. I'm also, you know, most people outside of the politicians I talk to, most people I talk to about this, Brian, think that the alligator should be with the guy. He's already been with him for 34 years. He had proper paperwork since 2 years ago. You know, a lot of people agree with that. Now, you heard some of the politicians speak that, you know, a lot of them don't want to see the alligator return. But I am surprised the number of people. Again, I think a lot of people are like me. I don't want to get anywhere near this alligator. I don't like alligators. I don't like snakes. I don't like reptiles. But this guy has obviously a bond with Albert, and I don't know what changed 2 years ago, but he should be able to get his gator back.
So this is how I was thinking about this. A lot of people share that exact sentiment. I don't know if it's most, but a lot of people do. 50-50, whatever it is. So on Friday, Joe, I went to a show in Buffalo, and I was kind of amazed. You know, I'm looking around at people, and I noticed something that I've really never seen. It didn't happen back in my day. So I'm looking around, and it's a mostly younger crowd, like 16 years old, maybe like a low 20s or whatever. And I'm looking around at everybody, and you know what everyone's doing? Everyone's wearing earplugs at the show. You know, and then I'm thinking, well, back when I was, you know, their age, 15, 16 years old, like nobody wore earplugs. You wore earplugs when you were older. But, you know, back in my day, we watched Don Cherry and got tinnitus.
That's right.
No one wore earplugs. And I'm sitting there like, well, I look like maybe the odd man out. Everyone's doing it. You know, if you put earplugs in, you were 16 years old when I was growing up, you know.
You're still not putting them in?
Okay, wimp. You know, well, I should because I have this, you know, faint ringing in the ears that really never leaves, Joe. And I've come to realize that all these kids are probably actually smart for not getting tinnitus at a young age.
Did you hear those headphones when you plugged them in this morning? That's the result of not having headphones.
Yeah, no, I hear it when you're in here. But so then I'm thinking, I'm like, wait a second. So all these kids now are going to shows and they're wearing earplugs. They want to protect their hearing. They're, you know, some would say the generation's got a little softer. Not me. I say they're just more open to the idea that they're not invincible. And these same people who are putting in earplugs at a show see no problem with letting a 750-pound, 11-foot-long alligator live next door, and they'll bring their kids over to give it a nice little pet. Something doesn't add up.
Yeah, like I said, I wouldn't go that far. I wouldn't bring my son to see the alligator. I wouldn't get in the pool with the alligator. You know, I mean, as I've said, I avoid the reptile exhibit, except for this weekend because it was cold outside at the zoo. But that doesn't take away from this guy has proven with the alligator, let's not get into the other animals, with the alligator that he can safely maintain him in this part of the house. And again, he has not gotten caught three doors down.
I don't think you can look at things in a vacuum like that. You know, hey, well, the alligator's been fine. I mean, the venomous snake might have bit him and almost killed him, but the alligator is just perfectly fine. This alligator's never a chance. I mean, I'm reading stories about you go into the lake at Disney and you get eaten, but...
But I mean, here's an example. I was an awful caretaker of a hamster. My parents finally said, you can't take care of this hamster. We're giving it away. I think I've been a pretty good dog dad to my dog, right? He's in good shape. He's still like a puppy at 11 years old.
Yeah.
I mean, I've only been with him for 6 years, but still, you know, like I'm not a good hamster keeper, but I'm a pretty good dog keeper. So you could be a good alligator keeper, but not a good snake keeper.
I could see that. You have this then, too. This is the most interesting conversation I had about this over the weekend, which kind of leads me to another question for everybody out there. So we're talking about the alligator. Saw my grandma over the weekend, and she said, well, we had an alligator. Hold up now. Yeah. What? I've never heard this story before. Yeah, we had an alligator. Kept it. You know, we got it as... I forgot what she said she got it from, and it was one of my uncle's alligators. And she's like, yeah, we kept it in the basement in the wash tub. I'm like, how big did it get? And she's holding her hands out here, and that, I mean, like 3 feet long, an alligator down in the basement. She goes, yeah, well, I had to put on hockey gloves to go because he'd chomp at you when you'd go and feed him. And I'm thinking, like, what is going on in this family? You had an alligator in the basement. She said, well, it just got... too much. We couldn't keep him in there anymore, so we gave him to the zoo. And I'm thinking,
seems fair.
That's kind of a wild story. But if that happened in my own family, I'm willing to bet that there's other people listening out there who it might not be an alligator, but it might be something wild. You know, I was thinking Friday about the monkey guy in Amherst.
There it
who
is.
Who they had a tree inside the house, so supposedly because a monkey lived there and there was an addition in between the garage and the house where the monkey lived. Stuff like that. In your family or someone you know, what are the wildest pets that are out there, out and about in Western New York?
I know, I have it on good authority. I know for fact that in the 40s, there was an alligator living at the Duff's restaurant at Sheridan and Millersport.
when it was Duff's? Or was that when it was the Mexican?
When it was first Duff's, when the Duff's took it over, there was an alligator living with the Duff's family. It was in the 40s or 50s, and it would be at times in that restaurant.
Is the head still in there? You know how they do that with the alligator head?
I have not heard of the head being in there, but I've heard the story of the alligator. That was my first time hearing about an alligator in Western New York. But, you know, I always think of, when I hear stuff in the 40s and 50s, I go, well, that was in the 40s and 50s. Right?
Yeah.
You know, I guess it was more accepted back then, obviously.
Right.
I mean, your grandmother had an alligator. My friend's father had an alligator. It seemed like wildlife was a little more...
How big did the alligator get, though? That's a big part of this.
That's the part of the story I don't remember, but I remember them saying that it was a large alligator. I don't remember the exact size.
I don't remember a lot of dino-sized alligators in these stories, but hey, maybe you know of one.
But you know, it is funny. I mean, was it just last year or 2 years ago where those alligators were found at the Clarence Park off of Main Street? Mm-hmm. And they were just baby alligators that someone had brought here and go, whoa, never mind.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, they had to put them down. So, I mean, people do attempt it.
Unfortunately, you know. Okay. Teresa in Buffalo, you're on WBEN. Teresa, good morning.
Good morning. I hope Tony gets Albert back. But my question is, all this time that's going by, how traumatized is Albert? And has it changed his demeanor if Tony gets him back?
You know, Teresa, I've thought of the same thing. I mean, he's only known one life, and now he's... I mean, when he was with Tony, let's be honest, he was not in captivity. He was in a nicely built room for him, and he had a loving owner. Now he's probably in some cage. I mean, who knows how this has changed him?
Yeah, that's what I'm worried about. If Tony gets him back, what's going to happen? What's Albert going to be like?
Oh, no. The poor alligator. Teresa, thank you for the call. People care more about this alligator's non-existent feelings than they do about their next-door neighbor.
You don't know it doesn't have feelings? You ever walk in the house, your dog's wagging its tail? What's because it's a reptile, alligator can't have the same feelings?
Yes.
No, I don't buy that.
Stomping my foot down with that. Yes, absolutely.
I don't buy that. And, you know, again, I think, how many of you out there have put an addition on your house for your dog, for your cat? Tony built an environment for Albert, and now he's in some cage at the DEC.
You can't exactly have the alligator sleeping at the foot of your bed.
No, I'm just saying. But I'm saying that. I mean, what conditions is he in now? The New York State DEC, they have an alligator room? Come on.
Frank in Niagara Falls. Frank, good morning. You're on WBEN. All right. What's your animal legend, urban myth, or maybe truth that you've heard before in Western New York?
Good morning. Yeah. Today, I just wanted to bring up a topic about in Niagara Falls, they used to have a lion. A gentleman had a lion on 82nd Street, and all the kids used to, you know, go around and you'd hear this thing roar, and it was incredible. But I just wanted to jump in on your conversation about, you know, exotic pets and how in the past people had different animals and reptiles.
How big did this lion get, Frank?
It was an adult. I believe it was a male. And there's like urban legends about like it had its teeth removed and there was a bunch of stuff. And that's the way he was able to keep it. But I was wondering if any of your callers with a little more age than myself that back in the 70s would remember this lion in Niagara Falls.
Well, Frank, we'll hopefully find out more for you. Thanks for the call. We got the Falls Lion, if anyone knows anything. That's an urban legend that exists out there. I know the Monkey House in Amherst. Now we have a Hamburg alligator. What's your pet celebrity by you? 803-0930. It's kind of strange. You said it before, Joe. We obviously used to have some different ideas on keeping wild animals because you hear about these stories, and they're all in the past. And, you know, we're talking about this alligator. My grandmother goes, you know, what's the big deal? We had one, too. And I'm like crazy. At the same time, it's like we got, we can't handle a wild animal in your home? Like, we're too soft now? And then, again, I'm watching the Earplug Brigade at the show. It was just a very tough weekend to make sense of it, Joe, for me.
Yeah, I mean, again, I will go back to, I would not want to be anywhere near this alligator, but, you know, you've proven yourself. I think he's proven to to own it, but it is funny. I mean, because I would say we're probably a little softer now than we were. But when it comes to Albert, everyone has a soft spot for Albert the Alligator.
Not me. 803-0930 on our text board. Somebody saying their mother had a pet skunk. They were sold at the pet store, de-scented. How reputable does that pet store have to be for you to believe the claim of de-scented for the skunk? Right? Like, would you necessarily, like, could you go, hey, you go in the room, test it out for me. Boom. You know, just see what's going on.
I don't get the appeal, even if the thing is gone.
They say it was treated like a cat. Don't skunks have some pretty big claws? And you know, it's not just the scent.
I've never gotten close to one,
but I think they're kind of fighters a little bit. Like I'm picturing in my head badger-like claws.
Yeah, I mean it's a rodent.
Yeah.
Yeah, no thanks. I mean, again,
Pepe Le Pew was big back then. Maybe that's the.
I don't understand people who have snakes. I don't understand people who have rats or mice. Like those, there's no appeal.
We'll go to Ken, who's out in Java. Ken, you're on WBEN. You got a crazy animal living in your neighborhood?
Well, actually, I'm calling back referencing the mid '80s. I was a waiter back at that time, and used to be a store that I used to frequent quite often way back when, called Finn's Furs and Feathers. And back in the mid '80s, it was actually legal to purchase an alligator, a baby alligator. So it was and I found out that they were gonna put a ban on that, make that illegal. So the day before that went into effect, I actually purchased the baby alligator.
What became of the baby alligator, Ken?
Well, what happened, at the time I was single, and I had the alligator, I'm going to say, for about 2 years. And, you know, it was a conversation point. I was a waiter. I had the servers home with me and with a little bag of goldfish and show them how I feed the alligator. Well, the one time we were celebrating something and I went to feed the alligator and it had reached up and it nipped my finger. And I'll tell you what. It was only about 2 foot long at that time, but you want to talk about razor-sharp teeth. Well, when it did that, about a month after that, I had gotten married, and one of our gifts was a sofa and love seat from my parents. And when the delivery guy got there, he was amazed with the alligator. And I'm like, you want them? He goes, I'd love to have them. So I just gave it to him.
Yeah. <That's>, Alligator for a con. Hey, Ken, thank you for the call. I want to get to, before the break, Tony. Tony's laughing at everybody because one alligator, what's one? Tony, you had three?
Yeah, I had three alligators. As the gentleman just said, they were legal at one time. And my parents' friends, he had many friends, my dad, in Florida. And they'd send us an alligator. There was a special little package that they would prepare. And they'd send them through the mail. You'd get your mail, and there'd be this cardboard box about a foot and a half long and maybe 8 inches wide. You'd open it up, and the little guy would just come out, and he wanted something to eat. So we never asked for the alligators, but we put them in the yard, and they would eat insects and raw hamburger. And what became of them? Well, one went to the Museum of Science. Ellsworth Yeager, I think, took one of them. It was about to take one of them. And then the zoo was very obliging to take the gators after we had them. But they're kind of cool when they're small. But for God's sake, I didn't want to raise them to get too big.
Yeah, that makes sense. Hey, Tony, thanks for the call. Sounds like the zoo was pretty busy back, you go about 40 years ago in the alligator business.
Yeah, and I would love if the zoo had alligators now. I think that would be a cool exhibit. Obviously, you'd have to control it, but that would be a cool exhibit. I also have a feeling, Brian, if we are, you know, talking to some of our, now I realize Tony was in North Buffalo, but if we're talking some of our rural listeners out there, don't you just have a feeling that this is more common in like rural New York? I mean, again, I know we've got Hamburg, we've got the city of Buffalo. I just have a feeling that you probably have some crazy stories out there where you have a ton of land.
Yeah, my grandmother used to live in, it's funny, my grandma, when she was in Kenmore, had the alligator in the basement. When she lived out in Wales, had a huge pond in the backyard, no alligator.
No alligator.
But I was always scared that one would pop out. what about you? 803-0930. Have you been talking about Albert over the weekend? What do those conversations sound like? To me, they're crazy. We'll get some of your calls and texts in 803-0930 when we return on WB.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
We're back here, Brian Mazurowski and Joe Beamer, talking about the Hamburg alligator. His name's Albert, taken by the DEC last week, 34 years with his owner, weighing in at 750 pounds, 11 feet long. Come on. We talked a lot about where you stand on the issue. What about you? 803-0930. I come down to this, Joe, a text that came in. He's not following the rules of the permit. This is the texter. You're not supposed to take pictures with children without their mouth taped shut. Hard not to understand. Where does it end if there's no line? And that, to me, that's pretty much the argument. Like, you might be able to get me around to 750-pound alligator in your home in Hamburg. When you're inviting everyone over to pet the alligator, swim with the alligator, mouth wide open with the alligator.
Give them a ticket. And say, don't do it again.
That'll solve everything.
You're not supposed to go 65 and a 55. I've done it. I got pulled over. I get a ticket. I pay it. I don't do it again, right? I mean, again, there have been no incidents. As a parent, I'm not saying bring your child. No one should be bringing their child anywhere close to this gator.
But people were. It sounds like every day.
I blame the parents more than I blame the owner.
Why? If you're a responsible owner. My one dog is not good around kids. We have kids over to the house. The dog is going to somebody else's house or is fenced in the area, not going near the kids. You got a 750-pound alligator, and you're inviting everyone from age 1 to 91 over to give it a pet with its mouth wide open.
Exactly. But as
that's not being a responsible humongous alligator owner.
So if you were invited to the alligator and you brought your kids, that's not on you?
It's on both of them, but you shouldn't be extending the invitation in the first place.
But it seems like this alligator is well-behaved.
No, that's great. That's great. I bet John Wilkes Booth said the same thing when he was walking into the theater. And they checked him and said, hey, you can't bring that gun inside. And he goes, well, hey, it's never shot anybody yet.
But it's an I'm for 32 years. I mean, how long of a track record do you need? For 34 years, he's bit nobody, to our knowledge.
To our knowledge. His other pets have.
I think.
To our knowledge, he hasn't.
Every pet is different.
That would be a detail I would forget to tell us if you're being interviewed on the gator, by the way.
You don't think someone would have come out? This has been a big story for a few days now. And Buffalo's not that big. You don't think someone, hey, I'm missing half my arm.
Yeah, well, maybe they didn't get out. Jim in Grand Island, you're on WBEN. Jim, thanks for being with us. What's going on?
Hi, Joe. Hi, Brian. I used to be one of those DEC guys years ago. I'm retired now, but I was the Endangered Species Enforcement Officer for Western New York. And I started my career in Long Island and actually dealt with alligators down there, too. I had a complaint one time, went to a guy's property about to complain about having numerous small alligators in a wading pool up on his deck. Second story, though. But I got there. Nobody was home. But there was a wading pool up there. And a couple days later, I went back after being off for the weekend. And the wading pool was upside down in the yard, and the gators were gone. Well, whatever was in it was gone. And then they started having alligator sightings in local ponds down in Massapequa, Long Island. So we actually found couple of them. I went out with the herpetologist from the Bronx Zoo, and we captured a couple of them, like three-footers, one night. But and then actually found another one frozen dead in the ice the following winter. But there was probably about, reported to be like six, but we recovered, I think, four. So, you know, people get these things. And like you said before, the problems come as, with these things a lot of times when people don't follow the conditions on their permits. And that's pretty simple, cut and dried. I mean, if it says you can lose your permit if you allow this, that, and the other thing to happen, like people touching them, letting them off outside of certain caging requirements and things like that. I mean, I've seen people with lions and tigers. I'm not going to say bears because I haven't, but I know a lot of officers have. And, you know, you see all kinds of things. As a matter of fact, we had a guy one time that I dealt with. I went to his house on a complaint that he had some kind of wildcats, and went to the house, knocked on the front door. It was a summertime, and there was a window open with just a screen in it. And obviously, you know, I'm looking at, I don't think it was fully grown, but it was a Canadian lynx. And it was looking at me through the screen. And then the guy came down the street, and he's heading to the house. And he looks, and he goes, excuse me. I said, can I help you? He says, I said, yeah, are you the owner here? And he goes, yeah, I live here. And I said, you obviously have a Canadian lynx. And he was carrying a duffel bag. I said, but I've heard you had two. Well, the other lynx was in his duffel bag that he just got off the city bus and was carrying it back home from wherever he was taking his lynx to have its toenails trimmed or something.
So, Jim, the story about Albert probably doesn't surprise you.
No, not at all. Like I said, alligators, we had the incident back in Buffalo with Skajak with a jack. And, you know, trying to find this thing. The people are a lot of people out there that are into reptiles. We used to deal a lot with my enforcement stuff, dealing with the pet trade and exotic and endangered, like tortoises, and India star tortoises and box turtles and all kinds of stuff. Matter of fact, one time we even found an alligator somebody dumped on the side of the road. It was 8 feet long, but they chopped off its head. And they must have kept the skull. Wherever the gator got too big, and they decided, maybe we're just going to kill it and keep its head for a trophy or something. But, you know, you never know. You deal with people, and there's all kinds of people out there. And some people want to cohabitate with some of these creatures and treat them like they're family members. But they're wild animals, and at any given time, you know, wild animals can become dangerous sometimes, you know.
Jim, what will happen to this alligator?
Well, in my experience, usually an animal like that, he's an old guy, you know. A veterinarian would probably have to check him out and figure out what's going on with him, if his health conditions. Usually the animal, like, we used to rehome them, you know, at different facilities. A lot of times they get shipped down south, maybe to an alligator farm, you know, places that, you know, you can go on the airboat ride and see the giant alligator, you know, that kind of thing. A lot of it's expense, too. It depends on, you know, who's going to do this thing and how much it's going to cost to ship this animal. Sometimes the person that had it is responsible for those fees. And there's a fine involved. But usually, like I said, there's a permit, and if a permit was issued, the permit has conditions. Like this guy that had these Canadian lynx, it was required that he was supposed to have certain caging and stuff. But I kind of question sometimes when the guy applied that his address was City of Buffalo. So I'm thinking, like, you know, why is our department issuing a guy a permit for lynx in the City of Buffalo?
Jim, I got to ask you before we let you go. You know, in all your years, you know, you take away a turtle or tortoise, a big boa constrictor, some sort of snake, an alligator, or any other reptile. Did you ever see them shed a tear being, you know, taken away from their owners, let out a little whimper?
Well, not the reptilian things, no. But, you know, I've seen connections with people that had, like, chimpanzees and cats, you know, like, you know, leopards, you know, maybe lions. They do get, they get sort of a bond. I mean, they're mammals. You know, they're a little bit more close to us than snakes are. Like I said, I'm not that, I've never, they're not very emotional creatures, you know.
Thank you, Jim. Jim joining us, former DEC officer.
Allegedly.
Joe, on our text board, somebody's saying, you said, you know, it's going 65 and a 55. No, it's not. It's going 65 and a 55 without a license.
Yeah, I mean, the permit thing is where I get held up because, you know, he didn't have it. But he had it for 32 years.
But he didn't have it. And even when he did have it, as he said himself, yeah, I didn't follow the rules of it. So what do you, I mean, what am I supposed to do here?
If you're an adult and you put yourself in that situation, you're an adult who put themselves in that situation. For kids, I think that's just, I think that's bad parenting. I'm sorry. Like I trust that Albert has been very good for 34 years. I don't care. If I want to go see the alligator, fine. I don't. But if I did, I would not trust my son. I would not bring my son anywhere near the alligator.
What if you bought the house next door?
Well, he's got a great track record of keeping that alligator inside.
Yeah. Okay. Charlie in Depew, you're on WBEN. Good morning, Charlie.
Hey, guys. How are you doing today?
Doing well. What's on your mind with Albert?
Well, first, I mean, I wouldn't have a problem. I would love to go check out Albert and pet him. And even, you know, my kids are older now, but even if they were younger, I wouldn't, you know, with his track record, I don't know if I would put my kid in front of his face, but if they wanted to, you know, with supervision, you know, pet it, touch his tail or something like that. I mean, I don't think I would have an issue with that. I mean, I certainly wouldn't go swimming with it or anything. But, I mean, I had a couple boa constrictors when I was younger. One, she was 12, 15 feet long. And back in the day when the Thruway Mall was open on Harlem Road, I used to take her there every year and have her picture taken with Santa Claus.
What did Santa think about that?
Well, see, I knew the guy who was doing Santa, so I asked him first, and he was okay with it, so I went home and got her. He didn't want it around, you know, around his neck or anything, so I would have to sit on his lap, and I would have it over my shoulders, and he would, like, hold it with one hand. But, yeah, but I got, you know, I used to take her to the Italian festival, or we'd go to LaSalle Park, and I'd let it in the grass and let it, you know, scurry around in the grass for a while. But, and you'd be surprised the attention that they bring.
I actually wouldn't, Charlie. I kind of imagine that a lot of people were turning their heads at you.
Yeah, you'd be surprised how many people would run up to you, and it's, you know, and it's like, oh, can I touch it? And I'm like, yeah, you know, I had it since it was maybe 2 inches long, so. And never had an issue with it ever. And, you know, I mean, I don't know if this is affectionate or not, but any time that I would go in there and pick her up, she would always lick me.
Oh, yeah. Well, just tasting, getting a little taste before the big meal. Charlie, thank you. Yeah, it gave me a hug. Well, it's a boa constrictor. That's kind of what it does.
But, I mean, do you need a permit to own a snake?
Yeah, I would imagine you do.
You do? Because I see snakes at animal shops.
I would imagine you need a permit to own almost anything, right? If you are filling out a permit to own a dog, you fill out the whatever for a cat, you fill out whatever for anything. I'm going to hope that the snake, and again, as I said Friday, I am not Mr. Let's throw more government steps into this and more, you know, $10 fees to pay every 2 years. But this is one I think I would be in favor of. Our text board, somebody texting in, another ridiculous state move, one more freedom out the window. This is a freedom. I'm fine with throwing this out the window. My ability to own a dinosaur, I think it should be pretty limited.
Okay, but make that decision before he owns the alligator. Don't take it away when he's legally had it for 32 of the 34 years.
And he was allowed to keep it.
According to him, they
had that permit been kept up. Had he followed the terms of the permit.
However, according to him, he did try to renew his permit.
What's the however? But it wasn't done. And even when the permit was there, it wasn't being followed. How do you argue against that?
I would just say, yeah, I am having a trouble making sense of bringing kids toward the... But again, I blame parents. I don't blame the owner. He's not their parent.
Everything I've heard, oh, we need to reunite these lovebirds.
Yeah, I do think that Albert was, and again, I don't know anything about alligators, as Brian pointed out. I think Albert needs to be back in his made-for-him environment. You know, maybe...
The swamp.
Maybe be-
I think they should be reunited on a one-way ticket to New Orleans. Then let them run loose in their natural habitat, far away from Hamburg, New York.
I don't think it's fair. I don't think that would be fair to the alligator who's been living in a home for 34 years.
I don't think it's fair to the circus. They had to get rid of all the elephants.
They did.
They get rid of the lions.
The Buffalo Zoo got rid of the elephants too.
They were great for however many years. And then nope, you know, now it's all stunts. I don't think they have any animals in the circus. But we can have an alligator and a home edition.
You follow the process.
John in Amherst, you're on WBEN. John, good morning.
Good morning, Brian. Yeah, I think that the argument begin at the outside is a philosophical argument about our relationship with animals in custody. And when you get in Spain, bullfighting is a tradition. In England, there was fox hunting, pinnacle of elite people with shiny black boots and red jackets and helmets, riding horses, shooting foxes for sport. Going backwards, circuses, you know, as you just mentioned, you know, elephants, animals for entertainment, animals that maybe should be in the wild or would not exist otherwise under, you know, human custodialship.
So you don't think anyone should own any wild animal?
Well, I'm not sure. I'm not sure. Probably not. If I had to say, I'd say no.
So does that include snakes too?
Correct.
All right.
Correct. Now, it's legal. And I'm not trying to change the law, except I feel that, and I'm no bark-eating, tree-hugging liberal on any of these matters, but when it comes right down to it, when you put a goldfish in a bowl, you know, what are we doing? What are we doing with that poor goldfish?
John, thanks for the call. And I kind of I see what you're saying on a few different levels. I mean, the goldfish probably wouldn't exist if it wasn't made in the fish store for me to buy. But
that's right.
One person texted in 803-0930. Text was, and this is where I would agree with Tony and Albert, saying that he should have been given a court appearance or some sort of ticket before they just took Albert the alligator away.
That was my point.
And I can see that. But I also see the counter argument to that, which is, look, all right, it would be one thing. You have a lapse permit on a huge alligator. We'll give you a ticket to. But we don't just have a lapse permit on an alligator. We have a lapse permit and then 1,000 pictures from the past 15 years of kids sitting next to, swimming next to the alligator in the open pool. So that to me is the big difference. That's where you can reasonably look at it. And it's where I think everyone's kind of lost their minds on this. You could reasonably look at this and say, yeah, that's kind of a public danger. And if we knew about this and we knew that the permit was lapsed and this alligator, as alligators are known to do, by the way, chomps down and bites a leg of somebody, then that's on us. So how can we, in our right mind, just let this thing live? That is how they would be looking at it.
Yeah, I do agree with the text. That's the point I was making with going 65 into 55. He should have had a warning, some kind of court appearance. Hey, you've got 10. You know, you get pulled over with your inspection. What do? They say you have 10 days, right? They could have said, hey, you have 10 days to renew this permit. I am having, as you can probably tell listening, I am having a problem making an excuse for children pictures with.
Because there isn't one.
I would still say that that is more on the parents than it is the owner of the alligator. He's not their parent. The state's not their parent. It is on the parents. You know, don't bring your children around an alligator, no matter what his track record is.
Two wrongs don't make a right. It goes both ways.
I still think Tony should have his alligator
Somebody's
back.
Saying ridiculous how some people think the government should be able to tell you what kind of animals you have in your house. Well, I don't care if it's the government. I don't care if it's an HOA. I don't care whatever it is. I ask most people living in their community, hey, would you know, it's fine to just move in next door to you. You know, geez, my one neighbors I share a driveway with. If the next people who move into that house have a 750-pound alligator, yeah, I'm going to have I am of the belief that somebody should be stepping in there.
Like I said, if the people who just moved next door opens their garage and there was an alligator in there, I'd freak out.
Is this zoning? Do I have to go to the next planning board meeting to just... This is a no-gator zone?
Yeah, regardless, permits are not welcomed here?
Yeah, I mean...
However, I will say, I don't live in Tony's neighborhood, and it seems like the neighbors are fine with it, and I will go back to, I do think he should have had a warning before they took the alligator away. I can't make an excuse for the pitchers, but again, that's on the parents. This guy kept the alligator in his house. I mean, how many people listening to my voice right now have had their dog escape over the last 2 months, right? This alligator never got out. That's amazing. My parents' dog, may he rest in peace, used to get out all the time. This alligator never got out.
Yeah, my dog's not going to bite someone's face off. Well, we'll be back here tomorrow, Joe. Hopefully, we'll both be back here tomorrow.
Yeah, Brian, feel better.
I'll try.
Hydrate.
What do you do?
Yeah. Hydrate.
Hydrate? Is that the key?
That's what everyone tells me.
We'll both, I'll take a drink out of Albert's pool.
It's just sitting there. Yeah,
we'll be back tomorrow. Beamaz and Beamer on WBEN.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.